Welcome, everybody. I am William DeHewitt, and I am broadcasting live from the vast plains of the Free State, somewhere in the old Boer Republic. That's right, folks. It is great to be back behind the golden GAB microphone. Yes, Coolies are broadcasting. I was watching South African TV. Yes, it's controlled by Jews. Yes, it is propaganda aimed to prop up the Negroid and to really to destroy the Boer and the other South African Aryans in this country. Now, I was watching a documentary called Foot Boer, and basically it was two Englishmen telling a story, telling a crap story, if I may add, and they were telling the history, a part of the history of South Africa. Now, too many people, whether it is through ignorance or intention, tend to get the history or the histories of South Africa mixed up. You see, there is a distinct Boer history, as there were several Boer republics, all with their own separate histories themselves. And there's also the Cape Colony history. Now, most of us, and including the schools and in most of the history books you'll buy at the bookstores, they're all written about the Cape Colony. And sometimes they'll mix a little bit of the Boer history in with it. But very few authors actually write specifically and only about Boer history. Now, this is the history that concerns me, folks. I don't care about Jewish Cape Colony history. I don't. I care about the Aryans, the Boers, who had their own nation and had it stolen from them via war. Via a war that the Jews, who controlled the colony of South Africa, inflicted upon a Germanic Boer people who were living in their own separate borders within Southern Africa. Not South Africa, Southern Africa. Okay? Those lands were not part of the colony. They were not. So, these two English speakers, these two, I would say, subverters on SABC television, lying blatantly through their teeth about this history. And one of them had the nerve, when he was referring to a part of Boer history, of when the diamonds and the gold and the uranium and a lot of the other minerals and precious stones and other valuables Mother Nature provides were discovered in these Boer republics, this narrator had the chutzpah to say that they were not looking for gold and diamonds. Who's they? Boy, they. That's who's they. The Jews who controlled the colony. Yes, you see, they found out that the Boer folk actually discovered precious stones and all kinds of other goodies that Mother Nature provides for us, and found a way to invade those Boer republics. And what did they do? Yep, they robbed, they stole, they pillaged, they murdered, they genocided, they fed women and children glass. It was disgusting, and these two narrators had the nerve to say it had nothing to do with gold and diamonds, William. Nothing at all. Barney Bonato and Sammy Marks and all these other freaking Jew parasites. No, they didn't come to the Bull Republics for gold and diamonds. No, they came, who knows why they came. They didn't give a reason why they came. But it wasn't for gold and diamonds, William. See, this is very dangerous propaganda, folks. This is what you see when you turn on the Jew-controlled television in South Africa. This is the rubbish that they feed the uneducated Aryan folk, the uneducated whites, the people who don't even know that they're Boers anymore because their history and their culture and their heritage had just been stripped and genocided out of existence. And so we watch this on TV and we gobble it up because we think it's true. Oh, it's on TV. It has to be true. It's a documentary. It has to be true. Wrong. Does not have to be true. It is not true. And for the record, Jews invaded the Boer republics for gold, diamonds, uranium, and all other precious stones, minerals, goodies that Mother Nature provides. There's nothing else to it. That's the truth. These English-speaking fraudsters, these hucksters on SABC are blatantly lying to you. And thank goodness you have William DeHewitt to point these inaccuracies out. So, after I could not stand to watch it anymore, I turned it off. Who knows what other lies they were spewing? I'm telling you, I got so angry watching this. I had to turn it off. And so what I did was I went and looked up a little bit of history that I had not talked about before or I have not examined thoroughly before. I think I have dissected, as I said, the difference between the Boer history in the Cape Colony history of the Afrikaner and the Jews, okay? I've explained in the past the differences between the Afrikaner Jews and the Boer. I'll say it again. The Boers were mostly of Germanic stock. Not all of them. I'm sure there may have been some authentic Dutch and Frenchmen who were also Boers. But the Cape Dutch and the Afrikaners, they mostly represented the Dutch and the French. And it's very dangerous if you are not someone who knows how to tell the difference between a Jew and an Aryan. It's very dangerous or deceitful to call yourself or to identify yourself as an Afrikaner. Because, well, as I've written, Afrikaner is code word for Jew. I've explained in the past that these Frenchmen who, I guess you could say they migrated to the Netherlands and were brought to the Cape through the Dutch East India Company, which has nothing to do with the Dutch people. You see, there are Dutch Aryans, right? There are French Aryans. But you have to understand that most of the Cape Dutch or the Afrikaners that came to South Africa were not white or Aryan. They were Murano Jews, these French Jews who were forced not to practice Judaism. They converted to Calvinism or the Reformed Church. Thus, they, to the Netherlands, get in with the Dutch people, other known as the Huguenots, right? So you have these French Huguenots, these Dutch people that, like, these Jews left Judaism because they were Jew, and they converted to Protestant. And sure said, there were some white people, who were French in descent. But these Jews, converted to their religion, to their Christian religion, blended in with, mated with them, everything they could to conceal their Jews. So those are who make up the case. The Dutch, the Afrikaner, and is the Germanic who makes up Boer. Sure, a few real Aryan men or Dutchmen were also known as Boers. In fact, there were many Jews who were known as Boers. Yes, there is a word called the Boers or the Boer Jews. I'm not saying it correctly in Afrikaans accent, but it's spelled Boer, B-O-E-R-E, Jode or Jude, J-O-D-E, the Boer Jude, which means Jew farmer. As the Jews blended in with the Cape Dutch, you know, the French and the Dutchmen, the Jew also blended in with the Germanic Boer. And they're called the Boer Jews, the Jew farmer. Okay? And as usual, folks, these Jews fought on both sides when it came time for the Boer War. Don't they always help? Jews are the big Galian dialectic. I'll say that again. Jews are the big Galian dialectic. They are both sides of the same coin. They are two wings of the same Jew bird of prey. They do this all the time, folks. They operate and act on both sides and create division. The same with the apartheid era. You had Jews who were for apartheid and Jews who were against apartheid, right? And their objective is, or was to cause as much conflict as possible to get the Aryan folk fighting amongst themselves as these Jews have infiltrated and blended in with both societies, with both Aryan peoples. Until our folk understand this, until they understand that this is commonplace, this happens to every Aryan ethnicity. A great example would be, folks, the Italian Mafia, right? We see all these Hollywood movies about the Italian Mafia, the Sopranos, right? No, folks, the Sopranos are not authentic Italian mobsters, okay? The Sopranos portrayed Mischlings, Jewish mobsters who came from Italy. There's nothing Italian about them, unless maybe they were mixed race and had a portion of Italian blood in them. And that's what they do. That's what Jews do. They blend into our families. They blend into our bloodlines. They do these atrocious acts. They make these, you know, Italian mobsters look awful, which makes, in turn, the Italian people look awful, and then, ultimately, makes the Aryan people in whole look awful. The same with the Irish mobsters, you know? The Irish mob, the Irish mafia, the Leprechaun. Always chasing the pot of gold, right? That's what these Jews do. They blend into our family. They create these, or they do these audacious acts, you know, commit these awful crimes. And therefore, everyone thinks it is Italians or the Irishman who is creating these awful crimes. Well, folks, I am here to tell you it is not the Italian mob. It is not the Irish mob. It is not the Italian man or the Irish man who does all of these crimes and forms these mafias or mobs, it is the Jew. It's always the Jew. Oh, you're anti-Semitic, to Hewitt. Oy vey. Yeah, whatever. You would be too, if you know what I know. I would like to discuss an article from a man. Oh, yeah, there's two. There's one from Boer Folk Radio, Tien Klota, a man I respect greatly. I think I'll read his article or an article that he published on his, not read, I don't read necessarily. When I go through articles, I don't read articles. I go through them and I break them down, okay? So the other one is the one I'd like to do first, and it is titled The Afrikaner Domination of the Boers. Yes, folks, I had published, or I'm sorry, I should say republished, this article on my old website. I usually do not publish other people's work or articles on my site. But this article, The Afrikaner Domination of the Boers, is so important that I felt it necessary to put somebody else's work on my old site. And it was a very popularly read article as well, folks. This author, it doesn't say who it is here, but I believe it was J.G. Smith, off the top of my head. But the version I'm looking at, it comes from republicantrekkervolk.blogspot.com. And so, this article starts off talking about the domination and how it was constructed. In the term, it explains that the term Afrikaner and the term Boer once denoted is accurate, very accurate, two distinct groups. Now, while it's easy for many people of Boer descent to not realize the difference due to the fact that they were often brought up to think themselves as Afrikaners. You know, my partner and I should say more so my partner, though, she's active in, or tries to be active in some of these, you know, like online groups. And basically, these groups are trying to weed out the difference. You know, they're trying to find Boers is what they are, really. They're specifically, one of them is a group that will allow any South African in for the most part. But then once they're in, the leader of the group or the administrator of the group, what he's trying to do is to weed out the Afrikaners and to find the good, the few good Boer folk, all right? And one thing that we've noticed is that most people who are indeed Boers don't know that they are Boers. Yeah, that's a very disheartening, I would say. They really think they're Afrikaners because that's what they've been taught their entire lives by the enemy. And so the mission of this particular group is to find as many authentic Boers as possible. Whether it's through blood or way of thinking, or I don't know, maybe he has some other criteria, but those are the two obvious, I think. You know, I am an American. I'm an English speaker. I don't speak Afrikaans, unfortunately. I wish I could. But by his definition, I would be considered a Boer because I think and act in the way that the Boer folk actually thought and acted back when they were able to have their own republics. So, Tien's quota of Boer Folk Radio made me an honorary Boer. That's right, folks. William de Hewitt, honorary Boer. I can't speak a lick of Afrikaans, but I am an honorary Boer. Because I think and defend the Boer folk. I think like and defend the Boer folk. And to me, there's no more noble of a people in Africa, in South Africa, maybe even the world, than the Boer folk. I admire the Boer so much. And I'm not even, as far as I know, I mean, I am of Germanic descent on all sides of my family. And Boers are mostly made up of Germanic peoples. So maybe I am a Boer, you know. I'm not from South Africa. I'm not a farmer, per se. But maybe I have the same blood coursing through my veins. Maybe this is why I think and identify like a Boer. But the term Afrikaner, folks, and Boer, they were put there to divide and conquer. There's no other doubt about it, folks. Sorry, I have some audio playing there in the background. I think I got that under control. That was my fault. Excuse me. So, yes, there are many differences between the Afrikaner and Boer. I've explained several of them. The fact of the matter is that there is indeed a valid and poignant difference between the two terms, since it does relate to two distinct cultural groups. The Afrikaners conditioned the Boers to view themselves as Afrikaners, as well as in the wake of the devastation of the Anglo-Boer War, when most Boers were destitute and looking for work in other cities. They were forced to leave their republics. Now, this left them rather vulnerable to the Cape-faced Afrikaners and Jews' political maneuvering, which ultimately would, well, co-opt the Boers in a political context and a cultural context. And I would even go as far as say even a spiritual context, because these Afrikaners and Jew religions were forced upon these Boer folk. Like the Christ insanity, like the Boer, or not the Boer, the Christian identity, the British Israelite movement. That's what I've been trying to think of. Yes, folks, that is not, I am 99.99999% positive that British Israelitism has nothing to do with the Boer folk. This is just another method, another tool, if you will, of the Jew to help to genocide the Boer so that he would forget who he really was and act in an alien way. The Boers are descendants, so we're told, of the semi-nomadic early migrating farmers who were known as the Trek Boers, who first trekked away from the Western Cape, we're told. However, I tend to think that there weren't as many in the West Western Cape as there were coming out of the Eastern Cape. See, I've also explained in past shows that the Boers, at least the Boers that I had looked into intensely, well, they were missionaries who were brought to Southern Africa, who were brought to the colony because the Crimean War was over. They were supposed to be fighting in the Crimean War. The war ended, and so they were still offered to come to South Africa. And they said, yes, they, according to the documents, folks, the documents that I read, according to the information, these Boers agreed to come to South Africa as long as they did not have to escape laws, they could follow or observe their own religion, and speak their own language, which was an early form an earlier form of Afrikaans. There is a name of this to this language. Unfortunately, it escapes me. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But I just want to be clear here that, yes, they migrated or moved away from the Western Cape, but I would say more so from the Eastern Cape, away from the colony society. And, well, and during the late 1600s and 1700s, due to their poor status and the fact that they found the Craddock VOC, i.e. the Dutch East India Company, regulations intolerable, that is why they left. Even though most of them had already agreed before even coming to this country that they would follow, like I said, their own religion, speak their own language, and not be held to colonial law. So this act alone would be the essence or one of the major differences, this, you know, them trekking. This is one of the major differences between the Boers and the Afrikaners, who had, the Afrikaners remained in the Western Cape. They remained in the Cape Colony, as it was the beginning of a cultural gulf, which stretches back to Europe before they were brought to the Cape. Now, Afrikaans historian Brian Dutaut states on page one of his book on the Boer diaspora, which went to East Africa following the Anglo-Boer War, that the Boers were formed on the frontiers of white settlement in the outskirts of civilization, while the Afrikaner stayed in the Western Cape. Now, this is the crux of why the Western Cape Afrikaners were pro-colonial and the Boers were anti-colonial. This was a trait which would later play a significant role during the second Anglo-Boer War, when a significant number of the Trek Boers settled down on the Eastern Cape frontier by the late 1700s, they became known as the Grens Boer, or the border farmers. And it was from these border farmers that a number of the Trek Boers, that the vast majority of the Boer Trekkers would later come from after the local Boers, were tired of British imperialism. They were tired of their colonial oppression, along with Xhosa attacks, the clickers and the clackers, the Negroids. What I'm doing here, folks, is establishing the difference between the Boer and the Afrikaner. Now, I've done this several times in different articles, in different shows, but I've never really explained it from this, well, this is a little different information or angle, if you will. There's some details here that I have not discussed in the past, which is why I'm going over this. So, now that we understand why the Boers left the colony, and then we understand they left the Western Cape, went to the Eastern Cape. See, maybe I'm wrong. I thought maybe they were all in the Eastern Cape and never even were in the Western Cape in the first place. Maybe there were a group of Boers who never were in the Western Cape. But it doesn't matter, because they got there anyway, according to this article. So it appears the Boers have a lot of enemies, the imperious colonial enemies, the British, the Yiddish. You have the Xhosa, you know, the clickers and the clackers. You have, oh, I'm sure, many other different types, because this part of this part of Southern Africa was being explored by many different countries as well, such as the Portuguese. So there were a lot of different countries exploring this part of the world. Even the Germans to the west in Namibia. But the Boers were constantly being oppressed, and they were there were constant frontier wars and growing land shortages during what was later the Great Trek. Now, while all this was happening among the Boer communities on the frontier, most of the white community at the Cape had remained in the Western Cape and were often known as the Cape Dutch. And they were loyal to the colonial powers and often ridiculed by these frontier Boers, whom they had little affinity for, viewing them as these semi-barbaric ruffians, if you will. Now, the Cape Dutch, the forerunners to the Afrikaners, as I explained earlier, they often attempted to exert nominal control over the Trek Boers, notably with the establishment of frontier towns such as Swellendam and Graaffreinet. I've been to Graaffreinet. There's a lot more I could say personally about Graaffreinet, but this is not the time nor the place for that. But it was in these two towns that the Boers declared their first republics in 1795, whereupon they adopted the red, white, and blue horizontal tricolor flag, taking the Latvian Republic flag. Now, this motif would later be found in numerous other Boer Republic flags. The orange, white, and blue horizontal tricolor flag of the Cape Dutch, which was run by the VOC, you know, the Dutch East India Company. Also, the Orange Free State, which has that red, white, and blue Latvian flag in the top left corner, kind of like the United States has the 50 stars in the top left corner. And then the rest of it is orange and white stripes. And that, the Orange Free State, is one of the other, the second biggest, I believe, of the Boer Republics. You have the Transvaal. That was the main Boer Republic. But then you also have the Orange Free State. Now, and that's interesting, that the flag of the Cape Dutch, run by the Dutch East India, Yes, they later found its way into the South African flag in 1927 under the Prime Minister of the Western Cape born, i.e. the Cape Afrikaner, J.B.M. Hertzog, who just so happens, folks, to also be a Jew. Oy vey! Yep, you see how they do that, folks. He is a Cape Dutch Afrikaner, J.B.M. Hertzog. Hertzog is a Jew. There's no doubt about this. But how come these Jews don't identify as Jews? How come they are identifying in this case as a Cape Dutch Afrikaner? Doesn't this prove that William D. Hewitt was right and that Afrikaner is code word for Jew? Indeed it does, folks. Indeed it does. The first freedom struggle the Boers ever had was against the administration of the Cape Dutch. Yeah, i.e., the Afrikaner Jew. Oy vey! Or rather, the people who would later coin the term Afrikaner and used it in political context. I wonder who is always involved in political context. Yeah, it's the army. We're political masters, right, folks? That's why we run the entire world today. I'm being facetious here. No, it's not the Aryan who runs the political system. Of course it's the Jew. But the term Afrikaner was first loosely used in 1707 when Hendrik spelled B-I-E-B-O-U-W. He was a member of the local white proto-Afrikaans-speaking community at the Cape. You see, folks, these Jews, a lot of these Jews, preferred to actually speak Afrikaans because Afrikaans is much more similar to Yiddish than English is, okay? So that is another way these Afrikaner Jews have been able to blend in, by being able to speak Afrikaans particularly well. So now that you have these white proto-Afrikaans speaking Jews, you know, at the Cape, well, they went to court and they declared. Yeah, they went to Hendrik B-Boo or B-Bow, whatever his name is, went to court and claimed that he was an Afrikaner, quote, an Afrikaner, meaning that he was an African and was no longer from Europe. That was the explanation. Now, during this time, all of the white settlers and mixed race persons in Africa were referred to as Afrikaners. And later, Afrikaners. Interesting. The Semitics, or the Semitics, the semantics, sorry. the Semitics behind it. Yes, it is the Semitics behind it, folks. Oh, geez. But to be honest with you, I honestly did not know that until recently. About the Afrikaners. Yeah, I told you folks in my article that I was ridiculed over and over again for, that these Afrikaners are Jews, and that even the mixed race colors, some of them identify as Afrikaners. I mean, it's so easy if you are here if you were here with me, it would be so obvious and crystal clear to you what I'm saying. But for those of you who are not here, well, I try my best to explain as accurately as I possibly can. And evidently, you know, I just wasn't clear enough for some of you at the beginning. But I hope by now you understand why I put myself out there on a limb to be ridiculed when I made the statement that Afrikaner is code word for Jew. I knew I was right. I did down when I was mocked and ridiculed and called an anti-white and whatever else these people called me. A saboteur, I was called by certain people. Yep, I stuck to my guns, folks. And because I stuck to my guns, well, I had a lot of people come out in my support. Tians close to a Boer Folk Radio. If it was not for Tians, well, a lot of people would not have learned or become, they wouldn't have learned to understand what it is I was telling them. So, now we have, during this time, like I said, there were whites, there were Jews, there were these mixed-race individuals in Africa who referred to themselves as Afrikaners, and also, later on, Afrikaners. But this was simply a geographic label, as it was applied to, you know, white people in general, who were born in Africa, regardless of which cultural group they were a part of. Now, you see how that was done, folks. How convenient. This is what the Jew does. He labels you or gets you to identify, you know, as a geographic location. Kind of like when we call Mongolians Asians or we call Negroids Africans. That is awful when that is done. And that is really deceitful when that is done, folks. How about all these white folks? How about all these Boers born in Africa? Are they not too Africans? What about the so-called Asians, i.e. the Mongolians born in Africa? Are they not Africans as well? So we need to learn to stop falling for the Jew tricks of labeling ourselves as geographic locations, okay? So how it came to be used denotes a specific cultural group, okay? And to become politicized, well, this occurred much later in 1875 when a group of Cape Dutch intellectuals, boy, they, in the Western Cape decided to start a language rights group aimed at getting official recognition for their language. Yes, which they began to call Afrikaans, after the African continent. All right? Like I said earlier, folks, and I need to remember this, what Afrikaans was called before, when the, you know, the Boers, these Germanic Boers were speaking a language. They never called it Afrikaans, okay? That is what I'm trying to say. It was called something else. But you see, they've even genocided the Boer and by disconnecting him from his own language. Because the language they speak today is not the same as it was then. And I can give you an example of why it's not, or how it's not, more accurately. When I first got here to South Africa, Helga, my deceased wife, told me that Afrikaans was known as a, quote, kitchen language, unquote. Kitchen language, yes, because it was the servants, the maids, the garden boys, these coloreds, and a lot of them also Negroids. They couldn't speak the language that the Boers were speaking. And so, because there were different types of, Aryan folk here, the French, the Dutch, the Germans, well, Afrikaans became kind of a kitchen language, for the maids and the garden boys. There's a lot of different French words, German words, and also, Dutch words that make up Afrikaans. But it originally wasn't like that. The version of Afrikaans that is spoken today, folks, was really created by the maids and the garden boys, because they couldn't speak the proper language of the Boer. And so we have dumbed ourselves down so that Negroids and coloreds can speak with us. Well, not me, but us. I'm saying the Boer. I'm trying to decipher where everything went wrong, this particular show, how the Afrikaner has dominated the Boer. And it's been done on several levels, folks. It's been done by really overthrowing them from their land, by changing the language, by genociding children and women in concentration camps, and forcing them to integrate with a bunch of, mixed-race Jews and whites who don't know anything about being white. They just, they think it's okay to mingle amongst colors and Jews. Yeah, our Boer folks, really, war has been declared upon them since, and they're still at war. Only we're not allowed to fight. We're not allowed to stand up for ourselves. The UN's definitions of genocide apply. Every one of them. So yes, the term Afrikaner was first used in the political context, okay? Before you knew it, all white people are calling themselves Afrikaners because, of the language they spoke. How convenient. But really, it has nothing to do with the language. And again, it has everything to do with dividing and conquering. It has everything to do with genociding the Boer who never even spoke Afrikaans. Gosh, I really need to remember. I should have looked it up. I didn't have time during the break, but I should look it up now. But I don't want to. That would be a distraction and not good radio if I tried looking up the name of the language that the Boers spoke before it was called Afrikaans. Maybe you listeners can do that while you're listening. If anyone finds it, tell me, please. All right, now, I hope it's clear to see what's been going on here with this genocide on every level, right? The Boer people Well, at one time, they were mainly living in their own independent world, which were recognized republics in the Northeast, right? And then in, well, the late 19th century into the 20th century, from as early as the 1700s, when the Boer ancestors trekked out of the Western Cape, well, there were two distinct and identifiable white Afrikaans-speaking groups. And I earlier told you who they were. They were the Cape Dutch, which you can lump in a lot of the French Huguenots, and then you have these Germanic Boers, okay? And again, folks, I want to stress, remember what I said about identifying as a geographic location. We really need to stop this. If we were to stop identifying as geographic locations, that would force us to really dig in deeper to find out who we really are, you know, our real ethnicities. Really, I think this is so important. And then, well, next you have President Paul Kruger of the Transvaal Republic. Well, Paul Kruger, well, he referred to himself as a Boer and was wary of the Cape Afrikaners, according to this author of The Afrikaner Domination of the Boers. Now, I have to really disagree. I mentioned and spoke of Paul Kruger a little earlier in the show. The name Kruger in itself, folks, is an Ashkenaz Jew surname. And again, the Jews loved Paul Kruger so much that they built their first South African synagogue on Paul Kruger Street in the Boer Republic. And the Jews loved Paul Kruger so much that they put his face on one of the Rands, which is called the Kruger Rand. It's well known that Paul Kruger had many Jew friends. So, is it that difficult, folks, to imagine that Jews or these Afrikaners who were inflicting war upon the Boer folk to put in a general to lead them, or I should say, mislead them into losing a war? Yep, it sounds exactly like what a Jew would do to me, folks. It sounds exactly like the agenda of a Jew. But he refers himself as a Boer. Mm-hmm. It's said that he would often recruit people from Holland to fill certain government positions, as he felt that they would be more loyal to the Transvaal Republic than the Afrikaners. Yep, the Cape Afrikaners were often influenced by the British colonial power. Well, that's an interesting point there, folks. Why would he recruit people from Holland to fill certain Boer government positions? Well, I don't know. One thought that comes to my mind is that, well, the people he was recruiting from Holland were probably ex-politicians, and we know who politicians are. It's not generally the Aryan man who are your politicians, even going back to the 1600s, 1700s. Nothing's changed. So he was playing the Hegelian dialectic. No, I don't want you British Jews. I want the other side of the coin. I want these Dutch Jews of the Dutch East India Company. What are they? Makes sense, right? So after the Boers were conquered by the British and incorporated into the British-created macro state of South Africa, well, a number of these Boers even attempted to restore their former republics by force. Yes, force of arms. In 1914, when General De Wet, or General De Wet, and some other notable Boer generals, including it believed to be General De La Rey, who I have a lot of questions concerning. A lot of our folk love General De La Rey. Hell, there's a song named after or made for him. De La Rey, De La Rey. Yeah, I'll spare you. I'm not going to sing, all right? But, yeah. They staged a rebellion to the South African government during World War I. Now, this rebellion was triggered when Prime Minister Louis Botha's government decided to enter on the side of the British during the war. And this led to an outrage among many Boers, since it was less than 15 years after the British killed close to 50% of their Boer children in these concentration camps. The rebellion was put down by force and its leaders were jailed. And they were banned from participating in politics. So how in the world did the Boers become conditioned to also later view themselves as Afrikaners? Good question. I can think a three-word response. War, propaganda, and politics. You might as well throw an Oli frickin' Vey in there while you're at it. After the devastation of the Anglo-Boer War, of which a number of Afrikaners fought against the Boers on the side of the Yiddish-British, when many Boers had to move to the cities to find work, they often encountered these Afrikaners who would exert their political influence over the poorer, you know, the less influential, the poorer, the, you know, financially disabled, if you will. Yeah, they would, you know, use their influence, use their clout against the Boer. This, folks, is why you hear people such as Teuns Khosa, who does not want the Afrikaner to fight for us, for the Boer. You have these people over at, you know where, I'm not even going to say them. They still can't get it through their heads why Afrikaners are not us. You have the man on your shows, both of you, and you know who I'm talking about. Both of you had this man on your shows, and both of you failed miserably to understand that Afrikaners are not our people. Yet you still stick to your guns and think, well, I'm going to support the Afrikaners. We'll support the Boers, too. But why can't we all work together? Well, we're not working together because Afrikaners are Jews. And if there are whites who identify as Afrikaners, they're just stupid and don't know better. This is a Boer genocide, not an Afrikaner genocide. It's always the poor Jew. Oh, woe is me. The poor Jews are being holocausted. The poor Jews are being genocided in South Africa. Because, damn it, Jews know that they are Afrikaners. They're the ones who invented the damn word. During the 1930s, the Bruderbond, boy, they, and the Afrikaner nationalists, which were really just one and the same, well, they worked hard to incorporate the Boers into the Afrikaner fold. Yes, kind of see how those two individuals I'm talking about, a husband and wife team, can't get it. As if they are trying to help both the Afrikaner and the Boer folk. But we don't want to be helped together. We are a separate peoples. Oh, but you're anti-white if you don't want to help the Afrikaners out. No, we're not. Yeah, that's what they love to say. You don't support Afrikaners, De Hewitt. Well, you're an anti-white. You're a saboteur. Yeah. Coming from the same people who like to lump me in as being a pederast or a pedophile because I'm on a network that had interviewed someone who was... supposedly, I don't even want to get into the story, but the same people, they make this shit up. They also say that, what am I, some serial killer? Even though my wife died of ovarian cancer? Yes, these same two people. They love to make these things up about you folks. If you, and, or say something they don't understand. All right, but anyway, the Bruderbond and the Afrikaner nationalists are the same people, okay? And they really did work hard to incorporate the Boers into the Afrikaner fold, as the Afrikaner nationalists viewed the Boers as a political threat to their planned hegemony in South Africa. I don't see how that's possible, that they could be viewed as any threat whatsoever politically, because honestly, I don't know of any Boer politicians. If you look into past politicians, they're all, Jews. Maybe they were afraid that the Boer, knowing what he knows, would be a threat to these fraud, lying, these fraud, hypocrite, liars, these Afrikaner Jews. Maybe they were afraid that the Boers would be able to out them. Maybe the Boers still had, a brain between their temples, unlike most of us now, unfortunately. Now, I'm not, making... I'm not trying to be the Boers, but like I said, there's a group out there who's trying to get people to remember that they are, in fact, Boers, that they have Boer blood running through their veins, not Afrikaner blood. Our people, they've done a number on our people. It's taken an American, me, to come down here and tell them that Afrikaner is code word for Jew. It's an American who's woken them up, many of them up. You don't know how many people, South Africans, have contacted me the past several years, thanking me. It is my honor, folks. Really, I must say thank you. But after the Boer there were Boer-led Rand rebellions, all right? And it was put down by a violent force. Or am I getting ahead of myself here? Yeah, there was this planned hegemony in South Africa. Now, after the Boer-led Rand Rebellion was put down by violent force, okay, even complete with the South African Party government bombing Johannesburg in 1922, the Afrikaner nationalists worked overtime to politically incorporate the Boers under the Afrikaner banner, of which the Cape-based Afrikaners would control. And one of the first things they did was to create the color bar laws. Yes, the color bar laws, which reserved certain jobs for white people as the main grievance of the Boer mine workers was that they did not like having their wages being undercut with the importation of cheap Bantu labor. Yes, Bantu, B-A-N-T-U. The Bantu are actually a Negroid tribe. But because the Jews are so clever, today they're trying to tell us that we are all Bantu peoples, because Bantu means folk. That's right, you heard me correctly. We're all Bantu people, according to Afrikaner Jews. Hell, there's a TV show called The Bantu Hour, for Christ's sake, with some goofy-looking Negroid in his glasses. But yes, we're all Bantu now, folks. Doesn't matter what color skin you have. Doesn't matter what tribe you're from, what ethnicity you are. We're all Bantu in the Rainbow Nation. So yes, there was this Boer-led rebellion. It was put down by violent force. And one of the first things they did was create the color bar laws, okay? I said this. I'm just recapping here. Boer mine workers didn't like having their wages undercut by the Bantu, right? Now, this effectively started to acclimatize the Boers to this Afrikaner nationalists by getting them hooked onto a dimension of the apartheid platform. Yeah, there it is, the apartheid platform. Bet you were wondering when that was going to come into play. You see, Boers really have nothing to do with apartheid, because apartheid was a law of the Cape Colony. Boers really were never a part of the Cape Colony. Boers were in charge of their own Boer republics. So they were run out of their own republics, forced to blend into the colony, had their names changed to Afrikaans, or language, or Afrikaner, their name, language changed to Afrikaans, were forced to fight for jobs, move into the cities, had to leave their farms. Now they're being set up politically, even though they have next to zero power politically. Yes, folks, they're being set up by the Yiddish British Jews of the United Kingdom, where these apartheid laws were written and then brought over and implemented to the colony. Guess who? Guess who they got to implement these Jewy fucking laws? Pardon my French. They got this radical sounding white looking man who is groomed at these prestigious universities and Oxford and other universities in Switzerland and in Britain. Yep, none other than Hendrik Verwoerd. This racist, this anti-Semite, boy, they became president and implemented these apartheid laws. And because he looks like he's white, even though it was the Jews who created these laws. Yep, this is how they got white people to become blamed for apartheid. Yeah, it's really, really disgusting how they've done this. White folks, Boers, have had no power. No political power. Really, not even in their own Boer republics, because the Boer leaders were frauds. But now they've gotten they've gotten their apartheid hooks into our Aryan folk, into our Boer folk. Now it's the evil white man, you see, who has created this apartheid state and made us out to be these oppressors, made us out to be these awful lords who have, these landlords who have oppressed and just flat out enslaved and, created tyranny and just made the Negroid this poor victim. Even though you ask any Negroid who was around during apartheid, he'll tell you that they had better lives during apartheid. Because at least they had work. At least they had a roof over their head that wasn't a shack in a township. They had some sort of structure in their lives. They had their own beaches, their own schools, their own churches. You name it. Whatever the white man had in South Africa, the Negroid also had. But because Negroids are Negroids, and because they're natural destroyers, once they destroy and burn down their schools and churches and pollute their beaches so that no one wants to go swim on them anymore, well, you see, they weren't free. They weren't free to go onto the white man's beaches, to go to the white man's schools. They weren't free to destroy the white man's peace of the state. The Negroes destroyed theirs. Once theirs is destroyed, they want their freedom. They want to be free to be able to go on to the white man's beaches and use the white man's bathrooms in town and to use the white man's schools, because they've already destroyed their own. And the white man who did have a little bit of control over these things put his foot down and said no. And this is why it was so important that Hendrik Verwoerd was put into power. This fraud, this groomed politician who went to Oxford and has ties to Switzerland and every other wealthy man who would be groomed would have. And this is the shape we're in today, folks. It's apartheid. It's always apartheid's fault. A synonym for apartheid is the white man, the Boer. Not the Afrikaner. No, it's the Boer who has no power. Except for a faker named Verwoerd, who came across as this extremist. And, Jews, well, they can't be extremists, don't you know? It's the evil white supremacists. Do you have anything to add, Richard? I'd really love if you have anything.
I was just appreciating what you had to share on the history, the Boer history, and a lot of the confusion with the reference to Afrikaner. That is a important point to get out there, I guess, because that's the language. Controlling the language is always how we're subverted in the end. It influences the way you think.
Yes, that was a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, controlling the language, it really is a big part of it. And by calling the language Afrikaans is what really put the, you know, did the damage, you know? By, you know, making the Afrikaner speaking Afrikaans. Well, Boers speak Afrikaans, so they're Afrikaners too. You see how they do that? It's quite clever.
Right.
All right, folks, so I hope you have found this information to be interesting. I hope I have been coming across as coherent and cohesively, putting all this together cohesively and coherently. I realize it is a lot of information. And, well, you know, I think it's important that we take notes. If this type of information really does interest you, by all means, take notes and do whatever you can to get it all straight. Because I'm telling you, not very many individuals out there will tell it to you the way I'm telling it to you. I am fairly confident I am giving you the truth, at least 99.9%. I don't think there's much room for error. There's not a whole lot that I'm getting wrong in my estimation. Now, if I do get something wrong, I'm always the first to correct myself. But what I'm telling you tonight, and what I will be telling you in the future on this topic and most all of the topics I speak of, well, it's pretty accurate, and you're not going to hear it anywhere else. Because I do my own homework, I do my own research, and I put my own thoughts together. I connect my own dots. And so what you're hearing from me is very unique and original. And next week, I will continue on this. And I'm going to actually get more into the subversion of the Jew. Now, I did, you know, I think explain the Jew's role a lot in today's show. But there is more, a lot more, behind the scenes that I've figured out. And, well, I look forward to putting it all together for you. So please do tune in next week. Tune in to the other hosts here at Revision Media. Be sure to go to the Hewitt House of Publications and Radio. I have some other shows up there that Mike Sledge and I have done recently. We did a show Friday. I look forward to your feedback, folks. And please do tune in again next week. I will continue this. So thank you. Cheers.